Hello and welcome to a special Radio Prague Christmas program in which we'll be looking at traditional Czech Christmas dishes. Over the years, we have discussed Czech festive cuisine many times, but there are still specialties which have been somewhat neglected and which definitely deserve more attention. Among them, Vánočka, or Christmas sweet bread. For today's show, I'm joined by translator Lucie Mikolajková, a mother of two and also a fine cook. Lucie, what exactly is Vánočka and when do Czechs usually eat it?
Well, as the name suggests, it's a traditional Christmas pastry, so you eat it around Christmas time. But as far as I know, today it's sold in pastry shops all year round, so basically whenever you feel like it. But it's usually at home, it's usually baked around Christmas time.
We should also say that Vánoce is the Czech word for Christmas, and Vánočka is Christmas sweet bread.
That's right.
Now, we're in your kitchen. And we are about to make Vánočka, or rather you are about to make Vánočka and I'll be watching you. So what do we need?
Well, the ingredients are pretty simple. What is not simple, what is actually quite complicated, is the process of making it. Because it's made of leavened dough, which is very hard to make, and it's very hard to get it right. So I can't guarantee that we will actually get it right, because I don't always do get it right. But basically, we need regular baking flour, a little bit of salt, a little bit of regular fine baking sugar, a little bit of vanilla sugar, a little bit of lemon peel, and then the final and great ingredient, we need baker's yeast, which is what makes the Vánočka rise and makes it ready to be baked. And then we also need eggs and some shortening and butter, whatever you prefer. If you prefer it to be less fatty, you use butter. If you want it to be sort of not as dry, you use shortening, but then of course it's not as healthy. So for the healthy-minded, it's better to use butter.
Also, I think it tastes nicer. Everything with butter tastes nicer, according to my palate.
Well, people say that if you use shortening, it's that the sweet bread is... I guess you could say wetter, you know, it's not as dry mm-hmm. as with butter. So it depends on whether you go for the texture or the taste.
Does it resemble any of the pastries familiar in the English-speaking world?
You know, I'm not sure, really, because I haven't spent a lot of time in the UK, for example, but I can't quite remember having anything similar in the United States.
So, we have all the ingredients here. The flour, the sugar, also
raisins.
We have some raisins.
And then we also need some almonds mm-hmm. just to sprinkle on top.
Mm-hmm. And it's the raisins that also make the Vánočka nice and moist.
That's right, yes. And you have to use the large golden raisins, not the
sultanas?
Tiny. Yes, sultanas. You can't use the tiny little black ones, you know.
So, tell me, what do we start with?
Well, we start with making the dough, simply. So we take the flour. It's about 500 grams or so for a single sweetbread. So you put that in a bowl, and then you sprinkle just a little bit of salt on top, and then you add the sugar. Then you grind a little bit of lemon over it,
mm-hmm.
and then you take one cube of baker's yeast. Baker's yeast is sold in cubes.
Mm-hmm.
They're standard size. sold here. And you take the little cube of the baker's yeast and you break it into tiny drops and you sort of sprinkle it over the flour and sugar. And then the magic starts. Because it's really, sometimes it seems like magic to me, because you never know what the yeast will do and how it will behave. And it really depends on even how you mix the dough, how you touch it. Sometimes it seems almost like some sort of witchery.
Real Christmas magic.
Yes. So then you put the fat, whatever you decide to use, butter or shortening, and two eggs and some milk into a bowl or into a pan. And then you warm it all up. You have to let the fat dissolve with the eggs and the milk. And you have to get it to about body temperature, I would say, 37, 38 degrees or so. It cannot be over 41 degrees, because then the yeast will not react with it. So you warm it all up in the pan. You have to mix it so the eggs don't, you know, coagulate. And then you pour the mixture over the yeast. And the yeast starts working. It starts rising. You leave it for about 5 or 7 minutes. And it starts sort of making like a little cap over everything. And once it has risen a little bit, you cover it with the rest of the flour that's around it. You cover it with the sugar, then you put in the raisins, and then you have to mix it into dough, which is another very involved and special process, because you have to let the air in to make the yeast work, so you have to mix it specially. You have to mix it so... You have to sort of let the air in and start sort of huffing and puffing. The dough will do that, you know. And once it stops sticking to the spoon or whatever you use to mix it, you're done. And then you make it into a bowl, because you have to make it as small as possible so that it has space to rise. So you make it into a bowl in the bowl. You sprinkle a little bit of flour over it and you put it in some warm space, but like not directly over a stove or on the heater, just in a warm space. And then you let it sit and rise, which takes quite a while. It can take anything from 1.5 to 3 hours, depends on how well you've made it, basically what mood the yeast is in today. So now we have the dough and we have to let it sit. So we have plenty of time to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
I would like to talk also about other items on the Czech Christmas table. Some of the dishes or sweets have to be made well in advance to be ready for the Christmas table. First of all, the Christmas cookies. When do you usually start making them?
Well, I have to say I'm quite terrible at this, because while many people start well before Christmas, usually in mid-November, I start like the second week of December, but then I also don't make as many kinds as I probably should or am expected to, because some people, especially women, pride themselves into how many kinds of cookies they can make, and they make like 16, 20 kinds of cookies. I usually make 2 or 3, so it doesn't take as long. But if you want to be productive and make 15 kinds of cookies, you have to start weeks earlier.
That's the cookies. Now, the main festive day for the majority of Czech families, I would say, is Christmas Eve, December the 24th.
Yes.
What is on the table on the 24th?
On our table, you mean? Because I think it's not as clear-cut, and families have developed their own tradition, I think we can agree that there should be some kind of fish.
For dinner.
For dinner.
Yeah.
That there usually is carp, but I know that a lot of people are not too fond of carp because of the taste.
Yes.
So nowadays I know that a lot of people have salmon or cod or tuna or whatever they like. But usually there is some kind of fish.
Yes. So let's say that the traditional Christmas Eve dinner is fish and potato salad.
Yes.
But when it comes to lunch or the midday meal, families differ substantially around the country.
That's right. Until recently, I didn't realize how different the customs were. I know that in the north of the country, they make this mushroom dish. It's called kuba.
Yes,
in Czech.
Pearl barley and mushrooms.
And that's what they eat for lunch. But, for example, in my family, we never ate anything because there is a tradition of fasting. Because children are told that if you fast on Christmas Day... It's actually
Christmas
not
Eve.
Christmas Day, it's Christmas Eve. So if you fast on that day, you will see a golden pig.
In the evening.
In the evening. And usually we would have, like my dad would put a little golden pig, you know, decoration somewhere that I would find hidden. So that was really nice of him.
It seems that the golden pig mixes pagan and Christian tradition, the fasting.
Well, the fasting and the feasting, because first you fast and then you feast.
So for lunch, many families either fast or have some meatless dish, such as thick soup.
Yes.
Or white sausage, which doesn't contain much meat.
Mm-hmm.
Or potato pancakes. Also that that mushroom dish called kuba. But also many families eat vanochka for breakfast and for lunch.
Yes.
Which brings us back to vanochka.
All right. So, yes, let's check. Oh, yeah, let's see. The dough has to actually enlarge to twice. You know, it has to be twice the size it was before it started to rise. So, yeah, I see we have achieved the desired result and we can start actually making it, which is another very involved process. So let's go over and see if we can make it.
So we put some baking paper in because obviously you don't want it to stick. And then what you have to do, you have to take the dough and you have to sort of make a sort of an longish loaf, and then you cut that into nine pieces.
Why nine pieces?
Because it's made from nine strands. So you take the pieces and you roll them out into long strands.
Did we mention that it's braided?
Yes, it's braided, and it's a very complicated braiding because it's made from nine strands. So let's see what we have. We have nine strands rolled out, and you start with four strands at the bottom, which is probably the most complicated to make because it's hard to get it right. You have to, you know, go over two strands.
Mm-hmm.
Then you put three strands in the middle, which is basically like making a plait, like plaiting your hair. So that's easy. And then two strands go on top, which you just sort of roll together, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually did some research before you came to talk to me. And I read somewhere that actually there is some deep symbolism in the number of strands that the sweetbread is made of. That it goes back to early 19th century. That's the first time it's mentioned. And that the four strands at the bottom are meant to represent the four elements, water, earth, fire, and air. And then the three strands in the middle represent the human condition, the human traits, which are reason,
will and feeling or emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And then the two strands on top represent that which gets us closer to God, which is knowledge and love. So that's the symbolism of the Christmas sweetbread. I think it's pretty neat, actually.
And when you eat the Vanochka, all that comes into you.
Exactly. All those elements and that knowledge and wisdom and reason. You just get it all in one piece. Isn't that nice?
Unfortunately, we don't have enough time to make the Vanochka in real time. So we'll use some radio magic and speed it up a bit. So let me just see how you make the first tier.
All right. Well, then you take out of the 9 pieces that you have, you take the 4. And then you have to roll them out into fairly long strands. I would say a foot in length. It depends on how long and big you want the sweetbread to be. So you roll them out, and now you have 4 strands. And the first tier is actually the most complicated one, because making a plate out of 4 strands is something I have a lot of trouble with. So I really apologize if this comes out a bit jumbled. So basically you put the 4 strands and join them on top, mm-hmm. so that you have a starting point.
And how do you join them?
You just sort of, you know, smash them, mush them together, you know, mm-hmm. the dough joins naturally. So you just sort of, you know, press them together and they stay together. And then you take the strand I start from the right because I'm right-handed, and you put one strand over the other from right to left, just over one strand. And then you take the strand on the left and do the same and put it on the strand to the right. And then it starts getting complicated, because that was just the first step. And now you have to go over 2 strands to make it, you know, hold together. So you always take the strand from the left and put it over 2 strands to the right. And then you take the one from the right and put it over 2 strands to the left. And then you go all the way until you reach the end. But actually, that's only half of the tier done, because you haven't done the other half. So then you have to turn it around and you have to plait it from the middle, because you've basically only plaited the one half of it. And then you have to, you know, undo what you've joined here, and you have to plait the rest. And that's the hardest part, because you have to go from the bottom. You know, you put the strands over each other. On the bottom, so you just, you know, sort of put them under each other, and that's how you make the full plate. So that's the first tier done, and I'm so glad it's over.
So not only is there a lot of symbolism in it, but also a lot of effort.
Yes, that's right. It's time consuming. It's a very involved process. I mean, you have to pay a lot of attention to what you're doing. There's a lot of superstition connected with making the sweetbread. And I believe it's because it was so complicated that people invented a lot of crazy superstitions about why it didn't come out right. So, for example, the mistress of the house, when she was the only one allowed to make the sweetbread. And when she started, she had to stop talking and she couldn't say a word until she was done. And she always had to wear a white apron. And it's even some sources even say that she had to jump up and down while the dough was rising, so that she would help it rise better. So
incredible. Obviously, so many things can go wrong in the process. So let's keep our fingers crossed.
Yes, let's. So we've made the plates, and then you have to, you know, prop it up, because it wouldn't hold together in the mm-hmm. oven. So you have to get, you know, sticks, which you stick into, like usually 4 sticks that you stick into the dough to hold it all together.
So it doesn't slide.
So it won't, you know, mm-hmm. The plates don't just, you know, slide and fall apart. It has to stay together. And then now, once you have it like this, you still need to let it sit and rise some more. That's the third part, you know, the
the dough basically needs to be left to rise 3 times. First when you make it, then when you've made it and you let it sit, and then when the sweetbread is done, you have to let it sit some more. And it rises on the like this on the stove, you know, you just let it sit. And then once it's been sitting for like an hour, you can see that it's actually, you know, increased in size, and then you can put it in the oven.
So now we have all the 3 tiers plated and sitting one on top of another.
We have the sticks put in, mm-hmm. that hold it all together. And then the final touch is you take some egg white and you use a pastry brush to, you know, just brush it all over the sweetbread. You cover all of it with egg white, which makes it nice and shiny and crusty.
Mm-hmm. It gives it a sort of glaze.
Yes. And then on top of that, because now it's nicely sticky, so on top of that, you take some cut almonds and you just sprinkle them all over, which makes it look really good on the table. So you just, you know, put the almonds all over it. And that's it. You're done and you can start baking. And baking is another involved process. So let me just explain. You have to bake it at 2 different temperatures for, you know, a certain amount of time. So first you start on 165 degrees Celsius for about 15 to 20 minutes. And once that is done, you lower the temperature to about 140 degrees and you go on for another 15 minutes. But around a half of that time, you take another wooden stick and you sort of, you know, stick it all through the sweetbread. And if nothing sticks to it, if it comes out clean, then you're done. And you just let it sit for the rest of the time. You turn off the oven and you let it sit and, you know, finish. And that'll be it. Hopefully it'll stay all together and we will have a nice, beautiful plated sweetbread. So we're at the oven now, looking at the sweetbread. It's looking good. We have about 1 minute to go, so let's see what comes out.
And it smells lovely, even through the oven door.
Oh, wow. So, what do you think?
It looks wonderful. It looks like from the cookery books.
Let me get it out.
All right, it hasn't fallen apart, not even a little bit. That's so great.
I'm so happy we could get it right.
So now, how long do we need to wait until it's...
You need to wait until it's completely cold. You can't cut it until it's gone completely cold, room temperature. And then once you get it to room temperature, you can sprinkle some powdered sugar all over it, which gives it an even nicer taste.
And while the vanochka is cooling down, what are the other typical dishes on the Christmas table here in the Czech Republic? What do Czechs usually eat on the 25th and the 26th?
I think it depends again, because I've heard so many people say different things, but we usually have goose, actually, on the 25th, usually with dumplings and sauerkraut. So that's our 25th. What about yours?
Either goose or duck. Mostly duck, because we are a small family, so a duck is enough.
Yeah, so there's usually quite a lot of us, so we have a goose.
Also, many people have turkey on the 25th or 26th. Also, venison is popular on one of the Christmas days in many families. So now the vanochka has cooled down nicely, so you can sprinkle it with sugar.
Yes, we will do that. Sprinkle with some powdered sugar.
Lovely.
There we go. And you have to do that while the sweetbread has cooled down completely, because otherwise, obviously, the sugar will smelt and stick to it, and it won't look good or taste good. And now it's basically ready for eating.
And you cut it like you do bread.
Exactly. You just cut little slices, and then you can eat. You can either eat it as it is, which a lot of people do, but
and put some more sugar on it.
But some people think it's too dry to be eaten just like this, and it really depends on your taste. Most people I know, if you want to eat it with something, they put some jam on it.
Also, my mother likes it with butter.
Or butter and jam.
Mm-hmm. And honey.
And honey, yes. So basically, wherever the fancy takes you, maybe some American listeners could try peanut butter and jelly and tell us how it tasted.
I wouldn't recommend Marmite.
Probably not.
So that was Vánočka, the traditional Czech Christmas sweetbread that is eaten either for breakfast or for lunch on December the 24th or whenever.
Exactly.
So, Lucia, thank you very much for showing me the complicated process of making Vánočka and for having me.
Well, thanks for being here, and thanks for having the patience to stay so long.
And that's it for today's show. From me, Pavla Horáková, and the rest of the team, it's goodbye and happy holidays.